We're in week four of a series that we've entitled Battle Royale. Battle Royale is a type of battle where the odds are stacked against you. Technically, you only have a 1% chance of winning. And for most battles that we face as human beings just living on this planet, the odds are against us. But in that 1%, if God is in that 1%, then anything is possible. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, "In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world." Today we're going to be focusing on, or really making a statement, do I really have God with me? Is he really there? And if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some really good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 4. It's in the Old Testament. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside your bulletin there's some notes where you can follow along with this message with some fill-in-the-blanks. There's some scripture verses written on there to help you find what you're looking for. This is to help you know when I'm done, but it's also for you to take it home and spend some time later on this week studying it, rereading it for it. And I really encourage you, read the chapters before and read the chapters after to get the whole picture of what's going on and what's happening. We've been looking at some pretty amazing battles, and this one is no exception we're about to read. Let me give you a setup. We've been, the last couple of weeks, in a period of time with Joshua and a few battles that he fought with the Israelites. And we looked at Jericho, and we looked at the Battle of Ai. And now we're fast-forwarding in the Old Testament to a new era where the Israelites do live in country, but they're constantly at war with the group of people known as the Philistines. And this is where we are picking it up. It's in the period of time where Samuel is the prophet, but he's in training. He's in training under the current prophet of the land, whose name is Eli. So we're reading today in 1 Samuel chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 5. You can follow along on the screen or on the app or in your paper Bible. It says this: "At that time, Israel was at war with the Philistines. The Israelite army was camped near Ebenezer, and the Philistines were at Aphek. The Philistines attacked and defeated the army of Israel, killing 4,000 men. After the battle was over, the troops retreated to their camp, and the elders of Israel asked, 'Why did the Lord allow us to be defeated by the Philistines?' Then they said, 'Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh. If we carry it into battle with us, it will save us from our enemies.' So they sent men to Shiloh to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the heaven's armies, who was enthroned between the cherubim. Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, were also there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When all of Israel saw the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord coming into the camp, the shout of joy was so loud it made the ground shake." Let's pray. God, I pray that in the next few moments, as we unpack your word for today, as we look at another battle, God, I pray that you give us insight and wisdom, that you challenge us intellectually, and challenge us on a passion level as well. Help us to see that you are real and that you desire a relationship with us. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. I have in my hand a few tokens. When I was a kid, my favorite place to go to, we lived in Florida, my favorite place to go to was a place by the name of Showbiz. Oh, some people know what Showbiz is. It's like the precursor to Chuck E. Cheese, with the animatronic singing freaks and lots of fun video games. And I remember going there, it'd be like every time you got a good report card, every time you had a birthday party, you go there to play the video games. It was a lot of fun, but they gave you a whole cup of tokens. And the tokens' purpose were to use them in the video game machines so that you can play a game. And I remember one of the first times that I got a whole cup full of tokens, I didn't want to spend them. I went up to my mom and I said, "Hey, I got all this stuff. We're rich now." And she had to explain to me what a token was. that it wasn't really money. I looked at it and said, wow, it looks like gold coins. We're rich. I'm going to save them. Look what they gave me. This is the best present ever. She's like, no, honey. A token really represents something, but it doesn't replace it. You know, the Israel was fighting the Philistines, and they had gone into battle, and they had lost their battle. They said they lost 4,000 men, and that's a lot of men to lose in battle. I mean, in comparison to the last battle we looked at last week, they were feeling routed when they lost 36, and now they've lost 4,000 men. And it was at this time of defeat that the older people, the wiser people of the country got together and said, we've got to analyze this. We've got to look at this and say, what happened? What's gone wrong? Why are we suddenly experiencing defeat? And the fact that they were doing this was really a good thing. If you are facing defeat in your life where it seems like I can't win, that something's always going wrong, and I just, no matter how hard I try, it just doesn't seem to work, then it's highly appropriate to say, you know what, let me take a step back. Let's do some analysis here. Let's figure out what's missing. What's going wrong here? Why is it that every time I try to go here, every time I try to do something, something comes in opposition, something defeats me? You see, if you're facing defeat, you should ask yourself, what's missing? What's missing? And when they assessed it, they came up with a really good conclusion. They said, God is missing from our battles. God is missing. We didn't have God with us in our battle, so of course we're going to lose to the Philistines because God's not with us. And so they thought, what can we do to make sure God is with us? What could we do? And in that moment, this is where they diverge and make a very bad mistake. You see, we read in this passage that in the town of Shiloh, the Israelites had something that represented God. It was called the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a gold-plated box that had statues of angels. I believe in that passage it said cherubim, which is angels, and it represented the presence of the Lord. But it's important to note that it represented the presence of the Lord, but it was not the presence of the Lord. It was a token. It was not the real thing. But they believed if we could take this item, we could take it into battle, and we have to win because God is with us. You know, I've spent some time recently trying to assess a battle that I lost, that awful defeat the Chiefs experienced against the Packers. And I've been trying to assess what went wrong. And this week, the light bulb went off like, bing! I figured it out. You see, usually I try to record the Chiefs game. I try to watch it later on Sunday night. And I have kind of a routine of what my watching of the Chiefs game looks like. And it includes something. I get on the couch, and I get warm because Wisconsin's cold. Oh, yeah. Did Pastor just go there? Yes, he did. I have my Chiefs blanket, and I curl up in my Chiefs blanket, which actually belongs to my youngest son, but I steal it from him. I borrow it from him, and I give it back to him. But my Chiefs blanket, I curl up in there, and when I was watching the Packers game, I didn't pull the blanket out. It was the blanket. If I just brought this out, the Packers would have won, right? They did. Oh, I said it wrong. They did. Now, I think you would be more excited right now if I unpacked a new blanket that was green and yellow, right? You know, maybe. But I still like my cheese. Here's our goal. Let me just reiterate. Here's our plan. We are friends until we have to be enemies. Okay? We can root for each other's team because here's what we want. We want a rematch in the Super Bowl, okay? We can both get there, different divisions. We can make it. It's possible, but you know what? It's funny to talk about and say, yeah, I could blame it on this blanket, but this blanket does not make a difference on whether or not my team wins, does it? I mean, I could think that, you know, if only I took this blanket and draped it around me, I'm now a chief, right? No. This, yeah, the littlest one on the field, thanks. Yep, I can say when I grow up, I want to be a Chiefs player. There we go. But this blanket just represents the team. It's not the team. Even if I take it and take it, it represents a team's logo, even if I put it on, even if I had a number 15 on, a jersey on, it does not make me Patrick. These are tokens that represent something, but they're not the real thing. The Israelites thought that if they took the Ark of the Covenant into battle, they would have God with them, and if God's with them, they could win anything. But they went wrong because a token of God's presence isn't actually God's presence. They went into battle. They went and faced the same Philistines that they had just fought against. They went back into battle, but we just heard they brought up the Ark of the Covenant. They brought up the two sons of the priests were carrying the Ark. They brought it in that everyone cheered in the camp. They, hey, the Ark of the Covenant is here. And they cheered so loud that the ground shook. And we know that's possible if you've ever been to a football stadium, that the cheering could be so loud that the ground shakes. And that's what it was like for the tens of thousands of soldiers that had gotten together saying, yes, as long as we've got the Ark, we're going to win. We need to go into battle now. And so they went into battle. They took the Ark with them. But hold on a second. If we were to continue reading in 1 Samuel chapter 4, which I highly encourage you to do this week, because it's really cool. This is an awesome battle. The Philistines hear the roar. And they're like, what is going on? And they get the report. They hear, oh no, the Israelites have the Ark of the Covenant. And then they gather their intelligence reports and they realize, wait a second. When those Israelites were faced with the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, there was an Ark of the Covenant. Oh no, they wiped out the Egyptian army. When they went to go defeat Jericho, when they were walking around Jericho, the Ark of the Covenant was there. Oh no. When they went into battle at Ai, the Ark of the Covenant was there. Oh, no. And the Philistines were like, wait a second. There's something going on here. They were afraid of the God that that Ark represented. And they're like, hey, they must have some living God over there. Not some dead God. Not some God that doesn't hear or speak. But they have a living God who actually helps them when they need help. What are we going to do, guys? And so the Philistines, they got together and they said, you know, we're going to fight as hard as we can. You know, this is the time that it doesn't matter. It's like a team that's going to play another team that's undefeated. They're like, it doesn't matter what record we are, we're going to break their undefeated record. And this is how the Philistines approached this. They're like, we're going to defeat their undefeated record. We're going to fight harder than we've ever fought before. We'll see if their God is real. And so they went to battle. And they fought, and they fought, and the Philistines were ferocious. And that day, Israel experienced a humongous defeat. 30,000 Israelite soldiers were killed that day. 30,000. And on top of that, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. You see, the token of God's presence didn't help. You know, as Jesus followers, we kind of associate ourselves with tokens that represent God. You know, we might, you know, think of like the cross. You know, the cross is like a token that represents the price Jesus paid for us, and we might wear that around our neck. We might hang it up on our wall. We might have it in our building. But if I was to announce today and say, hey, you know, you've seen crosses on our glass doors, and really soon we're going to erase those crosses and put up new doors. Some of you would get upset and say, Pastor, you're taking God out of Focus Church. Am I? Or am I taking something that represents God but actually isn't God out of our church? By the way, we actually are doing new windows in the door, but we're not taking God out of Focus Church. God is alive and well here. But see, God is not in a token. God is real. He has a real presence. And what the Israelites messed up with is they said, we're going to take the token, and they used the token to replace the real thing. You see, in the battles that Israel was victorious in, they were actually in obedience to whatever God told them to do and how to fight the battle. It wasn't about, hey, we're a mighty military force, and as long as we got this good luck charm, we're going to win. And sometimes we treat symbols like they're more important than a relationship with God himself. Some treat a building, a church, you know. It's possible that we could have so many people that God is calling to be part of this church that we outgrow the space, and then we have to figure out logistically where we go next, right? And if we have to meet next door at the Prairie View Middle School, does that mean God's not there because it's not a church? No. You know, it can be things we look at as tokens, but it can also be us. That we could look like we represent God. It could look like we represent somebody who knows God. But when it really comes down to it, we actually don't really know God, or we really don't have a relationship with God. It could end up that we're no more than tokens as well. But you know what? When it comes time to face our battles, this is kind of the real deal. When you face your battles, that's where we discover, are you doing this right or not? That's where the Philistines and the Israelites discovered, really, if God was with the Israelites that day. It looked like he was there, but he was not. And a lot of times we take life and we approach it and we say, you know what? I found God. I made a decision for God. And you know what? I'm so excited that he forgave me and I'm starting a new life all over. But then we kind of just put him in our back pocket and say, you know what? I've got God. I've got him. It's like I've collected him. Like I've got a collection, a card collection or something, that I have collected the God card. And then we approach God kind of like this.
Watch this.
Here I go. Ooh. Woo! Back up. Uh-oh. Watch out. You done wound me up. About to show you what I'm working with. Well, Alibaba, he had them 40 thieves. Shahrazad, he had 1,000 tails. But Master, you're in luck, because up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now, heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch, pizzazz. And how? All you gotta do is love that lamp. And then I'll say, Mr. Man, what's your name? Whatever, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order, I'll jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your maitre d'. Come whisper to me whatever it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me.
We treat God like a genie in a lamp, that when we need him, we just do a little rub, say a little prayer, we got back God on our side, and boom, he takes care of it all, right? It's like we collect God like he's like a break glass in case of emergency. And if everything's going okay, and if we can handle it and okay, we'll say, hey, God, you're okay over here. And I'm just going to be over here. You're a token, and you're treating God like a token. See, don't treat God like a token. I would highly encourage you to pursue the real thing for your battles. In John chapter 15, Jesus was talking to his followers, and we can imagine that in this moment, he's got everyone gathered together really close, and he's like, hey guys, listen to me. Let me just share my heart with you. And he begins talking about how he is the vine, and we are the branches. He kind of creates a word picture, something that they could relate to back then. Because they could see grapevines, and they can see how vines grow up things and how things branch off things. And if you've ever seen vines or been around vines, they just grow, and they just go wherever they want to go, and they branch out and where they go. But if a branch gets disconnected from a vine, what happens to it? It dies. It withers up. It doesn't amount to it. It can't exist without the vine. And so in this whole chapter, Jesus is saying, hey, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You can't do anything apart from me. We got to do this together. In verse 5, he said, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, if we were to just look at this verse, if we were just to keep it in its own little capsule here, we'd say, wow, is God kind of prideful here? I mean, is Jesus kind of saying, hey, you can't do anything without me. You need me. No, if we were to continue to read on, which I highly encourage you, this is a practice that if you see a scripture or you've heard a scripture or you've memorized a scripture, make sure you read the verses before it and the verses after it. This is called reading in context. To see what is the thought that is going through here. What is it that they're trying to convey to us? What is the message that is going on here? And Jesus' message, if you're to continue reading, says, hey, you know what? This is not a master-slave relationship, but I'm calling you a friend. And why do I call you a friend? Because I've shared my plans with you. We're in this together. Now, if you're not with me, God's going to take you out like firewood, like your withered away branches. You're going to get burned up. But hey, we're in this together. And if you say you love me, then you got to do what I say to do. You see, what is the whole theme of this chapter 15, what Jesus is talking to his followers about? He's talking about, hey, you got to be in relationship with the real me. Not the fake me, but the real me. Now, this weekend and tomorrow, we're so proud to be able to celebrate in our country those who put their lives on the line to serve our country. And there's many different shapes and forms of what that looks like and branches of service and time periods. But we love our veterans. We're thankful for our veterans. But sometimes our words can hurt. And there's one particular group of people who, just like everyone else, they serve. And no, I'm not talking about the Coast Guard. No, they serve just like anyone else. They take the same oath, but they have a nickname put onto them that really does them a disservice. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about our National Guard. The ones who are soldiers part-time. Maybe you can think for a second, what nickname am I talking about when we talk about the National Guard? That they're weekend warriors. And this is not a name that is something to be happy about, not something to be proud about, because they do the same thing our soldiers do. They make the same commitments. They have to serve if called up. But we look at it and say, well, you're not really doing this full time, you're doing it part time, and we're going to kind of have this derogatory phrase to describe you of weekend warrior. Like, you're doing your life and then, hey, just every so often you just get to play soldier and ride around in tanks or shoot guns, right? They're the real deal. But unfortunately, we could probably take this term and apply it to some of us to say that when it comes to following Jesus, we're just a weekend warrior. And what I mean by that is that we're someone who, yep, I'll go to church on Sunday. Yep, I'll look like I'm loving God and serving God. I'll even attend a life group once a month, or maybe I'll even give. When they pass that buck in a little bit, I'll put my hand in and give something. So if anyone's watching, I got this. I'm a Jesus follower, right? But in essence, when it comes down to life's battles, we discover that we're just a token. We wonder, why do we experience defeat? Because we're just taking a token of the battle, saying, you know, if I attend church, what's the minimum amount I got to attend church? What's the minimum amount I got to give? What's the minimum amount of thing I got to do? Oh, I got to pray that prayer that you're talking about? Okay, that's the minimum I've got to do in order to make it through. But that's not how God designed this. Don't miss it like the Israelites missed it. They thought God was in a box. And we act sometimes like God is in a box in our back pocket. And you know who you are. You know what I'm talking about. Because when battles get really rough and you know you don't have it, you know exactly who to call upon and say, hey, will you pray for my battle? Will you pray for my situation? Because you know where who has the real deal and who has the token. It's time to get real, to pursue a real relationship with God, to know firsthand. It would have been totally different for the Israelites if they said, God, we need you to fight our battles, versus, hey, we'll represent you in our battles. And it will make all the difference in your life if you were to turn to God and say, God, I need you. No matter what battle I'm facing, I need you, versus I need to represent you. Today could be a day that changes everything for you. To cross over that line as if there was a line drawn on the carpet right here to say, I'm going to step over it. I'm going to go to that other side. I'm going to take that next step closer to God. I've taken a few steps so far, but you know what? I'm not so sure. I've tried this God thing, and it doesn't seem to be working. And it's because you haven't fully committed. You haven't fully gone in. You haven't fully said, I'm with Jesus, and Jesus is leading me, and I'm looking for Jesus, and I'm finding Jesus, and I'm looking to see how can I grow on a daily basis towards Him. It's more than just showing up. It's more than just giving. It's more than just reading the verse of the day on the Bible app. It's relationship. Pursue the real thing. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's talk to God right now. God, it's in this moment that we feel challenged. That we're at a crossroads, really a fork in the road of which way are we going to go? That is this God thing something I'm doing just as a habit, as a token? Am I just really keeping God in my back pocket, this break in case of emergency? Is that my relationship with God, or is there something more? Is there something more for me? Today is a day that you can say to God, God, I want more. God, I'm not satisfied. I may have taken a first step or two, but God, I recognize it's not enough. That I need to get all in. That I don't need to pursue being a token of you or to treat you like a token. But God, to actually experience the real thing of who you are and what you mean to me, of how you'll lead me and how you'll guide me. How you'll fight my battles, where you will help me, where I don't know where help will come from, but yes, I do know where help will come from, because my help comes from the Lord. So God, I pray right now for all over this room that you would speak to hearts and minds. Lord, that you would help people reach their next level with you, that today would be a day that's not marked by big fanfare or thunderous applause or shaking buildings, but God, just a moment with you, a real moment, where someone says, God, I want more. I want more. Don't be a token. Don't treat God like a token. And I made a promise at the beginning of this message to those who came here today looking for hope, looking for peace, looking for purpose, looking for focus to your life. The good news is that Jesus is that source. And it is a real deal, but let me tell you, it's not something you just collect or do. It encompasses all of you. You jump all the way in. Say, I'm in this. Today can be the day that you say, God, I'm starting new. That my life, version 2.0, starts today. You see, the way that we're designed, because because of the original sin of Adam and Eve, we're designed and we're bent towards doing wrong. We're bent towards doing evil. It is our nature. It is a sinful nature. And we can't even help that. We may try as hard as I can to figure things out. We may try to be a good person, but we know it's not enough if we're honest with ourselves. You see, we need to be forgiven of what we've done. We need hope and we need purpose. And God said, you know, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son. He's going to pay the price, not with a token, but with the real life. Pay the price with his own body, with his own blood. The price for your wrongdoing. The Bible also describes that this is how we know God loves us so much, that before you were even born, Jesus died for you. So you say, Pastor, enough already. I need this. I want this. What do I have to do? The Bible describes it's a simple prayer. It's a decision. It's saying, God, I'm stepping over. I'm putting you in charge. And it's a prayer of belief. It's a prayer of sorrow. And it's a prayer of hope. We say, I'm sorry. We say, I believe that you love me, that Jesus died for me. And then it's a relinquishment of control, saying, God, I give you me. Lead me, guide me, fight my battles. Be real to me. Help me grow in you. And if that's you, you would say, Pastor, I want to do that. Help me with that. Then here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. I'd like you to repeat it after me. And actually, I'm going to ask everyone to pray repeating after me. No one prays alone here at Focus Church. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I need you in charge of me. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I need you. Give me hope. Give me a future. Put me on mission. Bring focus to my life. I give you me. In Jesus' name.